My title for this morning, The Validity and Relevance of the Resurrection, God's Great Blessing for All Humankind. Still today, many folk have some sort of idea that Easter is about Jesus. Whether they can put the story together is a different matter, but they'll say, oh yeah, something to do with Jesus. Historians today have no doubt that Jesus did exist. More evidence for Jesus, much more than for, say, Julius Caesar. That he was an authentic, real person who died. But the events of the 3 days after the crucifixion remain and will always remain contentious. Because it's the ultimate claim of Christianity, that of being a Jesus follower. If it's true, then anyone who does not follow the way of Jesus is on a misguided path. If it's false, then as the Apostle Paul blatantly points out, very explicitly, he says, well, there's no point in being a Christian. It's a waste of time. It's a lie. Don't bother. How can we know the truth of the resurrection? What helps us towards faith? Because ultimately, it is a faith decision. It was a faith decision 2,000 years ago. It's a faith decision today. The four gospel accounts give different reflections and insights into this enormous event in history. Many thinkers, big thinkers, have tried to disprove the resurrection, but they failed. And one of the reasons for that is that there is empirical evidence. What does empirical mean? It's a collection of evidence that can be observed through knowledge. Got a police officer here today. He has to deal with empirical evidence. Can't make it up. Well, he can, but he shouldn't. The gospel records state basically this. Jesus died on a cross for the sins of humankind. His body was prepared for burial. He was put in a tomb. The tomb was sealed up. But 3 days later, when Jesus' followers turned up at the tomb, the body was missing. And later that day, Jesus was revealed alive. Let's explore six evidences for the truth of the resurrection. There are many more, and we haven't got time to go through it all, but it gives you an idea. It can give you something to move into. When you've eaten too many Easter eggs, when you've been to the diabetic clinic, when you've got time to read. First one, sign of the soldiers. Matthew 27, verse 63 onwards. The Jewish officials are fretting. They are worried. They want to make sure that this body goes nowhere. It needs to stay in that tomb. So an armed Roman guard is placed at the tomb. And normally for guard duty of Roman soldiers, that's 4 people or up to 16 soldiers, professionals, armed. The disciple or two or all of them aren't going to be able to overpower those soldiers. Yet on Easter Sunday, the body is gone. The soldiers are said to have no explanation for this, even though their lives are on the line. And the Jewish authorities decide the only thing they can do is bribe these soldiers. Matthew 28, 11 to 15. A guard duty was 4 hours long before shifts changed. So it's most unlikely in that 4 hour period you're going to fall asleep. Then if you had for some strange reason fallen asleep, well, how would you know who's stolen the body then? if the story that Jesus has risen was true, then why would the Jewish authorities wish to bribe the soldiers? And if the disciples had stolen the body, well then how come the grave clothes were left behind? You'd have picked up the body and run as fast as you could. Sign of the soldiers. Second piece of evidence, the stone itself, Matthew 27, 59 onwards. A stone covered the tomb. It was the being big. The tomb itself, less than 4 feet high. The stone, bigger than that. And with this stone, it's sealed. It's sealed with clay with an official Roman stamp put on it to prevent tampering. John 20 verse 1 says that the stone moved away from the entrance completely. It's completely moved away. That picture's got the stone still a bit there. John says it's away completely. But this stone, this great big rock, is going to have been about 1.5 to 2 tons. So to move it, you're going to have to be really strong and you need a big team. Then there's the tomb itself. Matthew 28, 5 and 6. John 20, verse 2. Everyone involved with the tomb of Christ would agree that the tomb was definitely empty. Nothing there. Definitely Jesus had gone. But what had actually happened to the body? Had the authorities taken the body? Well, if they had, then when the disciples declared that Jesus is alive, then the authorities would have got the body out and said, here's Jesus, dead as a doornail. That would have been the end of it. Maybe the disciples had stolen the body. Well, that's extremely unlikely. Because after these events, the disciples in the future are willing to put their lives on the line, and some of them did die. You wouldn't do that if it was a made-up story, a hoax. And at that time as well, of course, the disciples are very scared for their own lives. And what about the general population? They'd have said, it's a hoax. We've seen the body. Jesus is dead. But actually, many of them, as the 40 days after the resurrection, many people saw Jesus. Next bit of evidence, the shroud or the cloth that Jesus was wrapped in. John 20, verses 3 to 8. The tomb was not quite empty because there was clothing left behind. The shroud. The strips of grave clothes. When John gets to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, he steps downstairs in and he sees grave clothes. It's like an empty chrysalis of an emerged butterfly. The grave clothes lay exactly where Jesus was. It was as if the body had come through the grave clothes. Now, if the body had been stolen, why would the grave clothes still be there? It suggests something beyond the natural. And then there's scars on Jesus' body. Number 5. On the first day of the resurrection, Jesus in the evening appears to all of the disciples, well, almost all of them. They're in a locked room. If the authorities knew where they were in great danger. They're in a locked room. And into that room, Jesus appears. And it's to their complete amazement and joy. But Thomas isn't there. And when Thomas is told by his friends that Jesus is alive, he simply can't believe it. We read this in John 20, verse 26. A week later, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. So Thomas is with them this time. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them. So Jesus, you notice, he is recognizable. They know who he is, but he can do more than he could do when he was before he was raised from the dead. His resurrection body can move through things. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe." Thomas said to him, "Lord and my God." He said, "I believe. I can see it. I believe it." Then Jesus told him, "Because, Thomas, you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Notice that very important word, blessed. We are incredibly blessed if we come to faith in Jesus. We're incredibly blessed that despite we haven't seen Jesus, there is a blessing to be had when we do so by faith alone. And we are saved by faith alone. You're not saved by how many times you turn up at church. You're not saved by how many times you have Holy Communion. You're not saved by how many times you say Hail Mary, etc., etc. You are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and 3 days later rose again, the once and for all sacrifice for all time, for all people. Sixth evidence, final one I'm going to look at today. There were other sightings of Jesus in our reading, 1 Corinthians 15. It develops on. And it says that over 500 people saw the risen Jesus on one particular occasion. But was this wish fulfillment? Hallucination. In chapter 15 of our reading, chapter 15 from Corinthians, that scholars now think that's the earliest Christian creed that was there. And it's just a few short years after Christ's death. And it claims Jesus is alive. And there were plenty of people still around who, of that time. And they could have stood up and said, no, I know he's dead. Couldn't do that. Too many testimonies. And Luke wraps that up in Acts chapter 1 verse 3. Say there are many occasions they met with Jesus after the resurrection. So there's some evidences coming towards a conclusion. Three succinct reasons why the resurrection is vitally important and is an enormous blessing for us today in 2024. First reason, it's a vital blessing because it addresses our past. It addresses our past. The mistakes, the poor choices, the rebellion against God's best can be wiped away because Jesus died and rose again. He took our punishment. He took our brokenness on himself. Romans 4 verse 25, it says, "He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our," here's a technical word, "justification." That means just as if I'd never sinned. When we ask Jesus to forgive us, it's just as if we'd never sinned. It doesn't mean we don't have to live out the consequences. If you have done something wicked, you've gone to trial, you're in prison, you need to take your punishment. But your eternal punishment is paid for by Jesus. You are justified just as if you never sinned. And that's available to everybody. And you might say to yourself, "Yeah, but I'm not good enough." But Jesus thinks you're good enough because he died for you. And you might say to yourself, "My sin's too big." God is bigger than anything that you can conjure up or do in your life, in multiple lives. You can know the release from the chains of the sin and past regrets through Jesus. So the resurrection is vital to our past and it's vital to our present. The power of the resurrection, we are told in the scriptures, is through the Holy Spirit. It's available to us now. In our blessing series, we're saying spoken blessings. We don't do that in our power and our strength. We do that in the strength of the Holy Spirit, who had the power to raise Jesus from the dead. Living for Jesus is to give purpose and direction to our lives, directed by the one who created you. It's for an intimate, close relationship, a love relationship. Jesus didn't die on the cross because it was just his duty. No, he did so because of an enormous, incredible love for each one of us and for our world around. Everybody. Resurrection, the third one, is a vital blessing for our future. Then the past, the present, the future. Because of the resurrection, we don't need to despair. I had an uncle Brian, who died last Saturday, last Saturday. And he was a Jesus follower. I know where he's gone, and I know who he's meeting up with. I don't despair. Because of the resurrection. Otherwise, I'd have no hope. It's the end. That's it. But our eternal future is secure when we know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. You know where you're going when you've got Jesus in your life. You know what you're doing in the present. You know where you're going. And that is such a release. At Holy Communion this morning, we're going to rejoice that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive today. We're going to remember the past, the present, and the future. And we bring time, as it were, from the beginning to the end into a single moment. And is it that moment for you today to say, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. I believe. I want Jesus in my life. I want to say yes to him. And then I want to serve him for the purpose of God in my generation, in the way that my generation needs to do it. We are abundantly blessed, Jesus says, when we realize by faith what he has done for us and then live it out. And with that blessing in mind, then we step out of this building and seek to bless all those we get to know. Our workspaces, our school spaces, our care home spaces, our family spaces, the street that you live in, you minister to these places with the blessing that you've received and you share the blessing out. May we be a beacon of blessing, not just in the streets here, but wherever you live, wherever you dwell, wherever you go to work, wherever your commuter is, that the work of God may continue to spread out and out and out. We hold a wonderful good news, and it needs to be out. May we be the people that are out for God. Amen.